The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making your home great, FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. We've got Holly Bowers from Roofworks and Wes, who is their steep slope repair manager. Wes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm impressed that you get up on roofs that are steep. What would you consider a challenging roof?
It's been a while since I've been up on anything steep, but for me, anything over a 10-12 pitch.
10-12, which is 12 in what direction and 10 in what direction?
I mean,
what does a 10-12 roof look like?
It's steep.
Steep.
Yeah.
Like church steep? Like
turn around and you'll see it on the sign right there.
Yeah.
Really?
That's 10-12.
That's 10-12. Okay. Yeah. On our logo, making your home great, that's 10-12.
That's about a 10-12.
I could get up on that. But it's a picture.
I would love to watch that.
No.
That's a young man's game there.
I'm just telling you. I fell off a roof once and broke a thumb, and I will never do it again. Of course, it wasn't my thumb, so I don't know whether it hurt or not.
Somebody tried to catch you?
The other guy, he was angry. All right. So Holly Bowers is here from Roofworks Repair. Talk about that as a part of the business at Roofworks.
Oh, that's honestly the foundation. That's the core of our business. And I'm so glad that Wes is in here. And Wes has just recently been promoted to our steep slope repair manager. Wes has got tremendous amount of years and experience in this industry. And I brought him in today to talk more, I guess, to get a little bit deeper in it. I know I talk about it all the time, but I need my superstar in here to kind of talk about what he does every day for
Wes,
all these
what
customers.
Do you do? What do you do every day?
I pretty much write all the repair estimates for steep slope, and then, of course, run our department.
Right.
All of our crews and then our crew manager and field a lot of questions, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. So.
And customers with steep roofs, clearly they know it. But what do they find out when repair issues come up?
Usually they'll start to see a leak somewhere in their ceiling, and then they will just call in, and then we'll send a crew out to investigate and find specifically where that leak is. So we like to get eyes on it first.
Right.
Look in the attic if we can, so we can identify if there's any damaged plywood as well.
Right.
Then we can get on the roof and make sure we know exactly what we're talking about to give them an estimate.
Is it true that often the leak presents itself on the other side of the drywall? I mean, is that where your homeowner knows that they've got a leak?
It really all depends. In general, if you're seeing a leak in your bathroom, in general, it's probably a vent that was installed incorrectly, or what we call a pipe boot, which is the PVC round pipes that stick up out of your roof.
Right.
So those usually either are installed incorrectly or they're just failing. That's in general,
that,
but you can never know. It could leak, 10 feet above it and just run down a rafter, and then it decides to drip. So that's why it's important to get inside and try to find it on the plywood first.
Yeah, you've got to a certain extent, bear the plywood so that you can see it.
Yeah. That's the only way to really tell, is you would have to remove the shingles, remove the flashing, remove the old underlayment. And if the plywood's damaged, you have to replace it and just kind of rebuild those areas. New underlayment, new shingles, new flashing.
You know there are some people who will go ahead and say, nah, you don't have to repair it. It's a little spongy. But who's going to be walking up on this thing?
General rule of thumb is if you're already starting to see That's another reason we like to look at the plywood first.
Yeah.
If you're starting to see where it's getting black,
yeah.
So that's already mold, which means water's just continually sitting in it.
Right.
Sure, nobody's going to be walking up there and step through it, but you also don't want to repair over that and leave that old plywood moist.
Right.
Especially here in the summer.
How thick is this plywood?
On shingle roofs,
yeah.
It needs to be 7/16. There are some older houses around here that are really old that still have 3/8 plywood. But if you re-roof that, you need to bring it back up to code, which is 7/16.
7/16. Trying to imagine it. It's
greater than
a half an inch.
A little less.
Yeah. Okay.
On your heavier roof systems,
yeah,
tile and slate, most distributors and manufacturers require it to be 3/4 inch thick decking.
Yeah.
So plywood or 1x lumber.
Right.
Like 1x6 or 1x8 or tongue and groove.
Right.
So it just all depends on the system you have up there.
And I know that there are people with drips inside their house, and they're just doing the bucket thing because they're so afraid. I gotta take off this whole roof, and I don't really want to. Speak to that. What do you say to people like that?
We run into that situation quite often. That's why it's important for us to get out there and inspect it, because sometimes if you just want to repair and we get out there and we find out that your shingles are 25, 30 years old,
yeah,
sometimes we do more damage just trying to repair it because all the shingles around the surrounding area of the current leak are very brittle.
Right.
So when you try to lift them up to tie in new shingles, they just break.
We think of shingles.
Just sometimes you just got to, you know.
We think of shingles as a hard product, but it really does have to be a little floppy.
It's a little pliable. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little pliable, depending on the manufacturer. And there's, you know, good, better, best. So there's different thicknesses and different ways they're manufactured and held together. So.
All right. I want a story about somebody who's repaired rather than replaced.
Well, that comes up a lot. I mean, I think that's what's so special about our team. I mean, the repair department takes a tremendous amount of teamwork. We've got so many pillar people that play critical roles. I mean, the call comes in, our internal project managers, Darlene, Wendy, Amy, they're putting work orders in. We're getting the team out there to do the assessment, and then it comes back on the back end. Sometimes they can do the repair on site.
Right.
Sometimes Wes does need to send an estimate, but every situation is different. And you have to treat it that way.
Right.
You do have to get inside. I mean, that's one thing that we always require is getting inside, because if you're not able to get in and inspect what's going on, it's a shot in the dark. So you can't be 100% sure that you have the issue addressed properly.
And if the bonus room has already been finished and there's no sense of water on that side of the drywall, if it's been finished, how are you going to know?
Well, that's the question. I mean, sometimes people, that's the problem, is sometimes they don't show themselves for many years. When it starts coming through the drywall, it's most likely been an issue for a long time.
Right.
And people, you know, bonus rooms, for instance, that don't have attics, that's for you to start having spots. It's been an ongoing leak for quite a good while.
Wes, is that the first clue for most people?
For most people, yeah, that is the first clue. If you've got a home and you have relative easy access to the attic, it wouldn't be a bad idea once a year, twice a year, to, you know, if you've got a walk-up attic, then you can walk around up there and look at your plywood and focus on those penetrations, the pipe boots and the vents that are going through the plywood. If you can't get up there easy and walk around and just have a pull-down ladder, stick your head up there with the flashlight and just look at your roof decking. And if you start to see water stains, then you may want to give us a call so we can come check it out for you before it's been leaking long enough to damage your drywall.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct that most of repair leaks, or a good percentage of them, happen at the jack boot, What is that boot?
Pipe boot.
Pipe boot. Thank you very much. I should ask the experts.
The methane exhaust vent. Methane pipe boot flashing. It
basically, everything that pokes up out of my house. Yeah, I can probably identify, you know, oh, this is venting this and this is venting that. Yep. But they've come through the wood.
They go through the roof decking, the plywood. Right. So, like I said, that's a 99% of the time if you've got a leak in a bathroom, you usually have a fan.
Yeah.
So that fan is hooked up to what's called an exhaust vent, usually a 750 vent.
Okay.
And then you're usually going to have the PVC methane vent also.
Right.
So it's going to be one of those two things, 99% of the time.
Oh, we need the methane vent in my bathroom.
If you don't have that, you know.
What?
It won't go down. Okay. It creates the pressure to allow things to go
down. Does it really?
Down. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, you know, you look up there, and if you know that that's where a lot of your problems are going to cause, you say, is this really necessary? They put a roof on, and then they cut holes in it. And they put some sort of flashing on it.
Yeah.
Holly's told me that the flashing is usually what leaks.
Yeah, because, I mean, anytime you have penetrations in the roof, which means holes in that roof deck, that flashing, those are the critical components that keep that water out. And that's the detail work. And that's typically where you see water coming in, but it's not always the case because it could be coming in from improper nails, exposed nails. I mean, there's so many different things. It's really a question of where it is leaking on the roof. If it's on the main roofing field area, most likely it is a nail pop or a shingle that's high nailed. If it's in, like he said, a bathroom or somewhere around a chimney or a wall, that's typically a flashing problem.
Okay, I want to talk about improper installation. So everybody put on their beginner hats during this commercial break. But imagine you're a beginner. And what kind of things can you really do wrong on a roofing job? We're coming back with the answer to that question. Wes, who is the Steep Slope Repair Manager, and Holly Bowers from RoofWorks on Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic and Making Your Home Great. This comes up a lot with painting. It does. Wes, who is the Steep Slope Repair Manager at RoofWorks, and Holly Bowers, whose title goes on forever, so we just, Holly's in charge of things that go wrong or go right at RoofWorks. Some people see, you know, some people paint their own houses, and they think, well, if I can do it, I'm never going to pay somebody to paint my house. Painting is not exactly a DIY project for everybody. Roofing is never going to be a DIY project, but yet there are people who are inexperienced, and what are they doing on the roof, Wes? That's totally wrong.
Usually they start off on YouTube.
if you're YouTubing how to fix a roof or install a roof.
There are good YouTube channels and there are bad ones.
Wow.
I would say that you could go to most manufacturers and you can find their installation manual online.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, to do it correctly. But as far as getting on the roof yourself, number one thing is a lot of times the safety you need to have in place just isn't there.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't recommend it.
But what do you walk into where other roofers have, honestly, people are thinking, well, you hammer a couple of nails and some.
Yeah.
No?
It runs the gamut. A lot of what we see are on the flashings that we spoke about earlier are face nailing the flashings and then just using a sealant to seal over the nail heads.
You can't just nail it and have the nail be exposed?
You can. You shouldn't have the nail head exposed. So you can, but there are better ways to do it. such as using neoprene washer head screws, because nails could potentially back out of the plywood and just lift up. So then once the heads are lifted up, the water's getting right in that hole and dripping through. Makes and it sense. Depends on the sealant, but it can last anywhere from 3 months to 5 years, depending on how much sun it's getting and all that. We see a lot of roofs that are 5 years, have been put on 5 years or less, and folks call us all the time, and they don't understand why it's leaking. And it's just a lot of times they're new construction. They're moving so fast that they're not paying attention to the details. So we find a lot of low-nailed shingles. So if you look at right underneath a shingle, you'll see exposed nail heads.
Okay.
And over a period of time, they work up a little bit, and water's going right through them. We see things all the time, flashings just not being installed correctly, lining up on the correct shingle cores.
Right.
And then just tons of nails through them, which, again, usually back out and over time. So that's why a lot of younger roofs have problems, is just bad installation.
It sounds like every nail is a potential problem, and you want it covered by something.
It's a penetration, so you have to think about that.
Correct. Right. So if you're installing the shingle correctly, the nails in the field are going to be covered by the shingles, which should seal onto each other.
Right.
So,
is that what they do? Do the one shingle kind of
overlap?
I know it overlaps, but does it seal? I mean, like a glue?
Depending on the manufacturer, there's tiny little glue strips on it.
Oh, yeah.
So as it warms up, it'll kind of seal on top of the shingle, or on the bottom shingle that it covers.
All right. So Holly tried to tell me a story about something that was just brutally done wrong. During the commercial, I said, stop! Don't say anything. You got to tell this story.
No, I mean, that's the beauty of repair and maintenance, doing it so long. I mean, you see so many situations that you're just like, how did that even happen? And that you learn so much about what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
Based on some of these situations that we go out and look at. So a lot of it's stuff that we didn't do, but just going back and making repairs. But there was one that we looked at. It was several years ago, and the shingles were all nailed upside down. And we just sat there and shook our heads, because I mean, it's hard to fathom the thought of somebody installing shingles upside down, not really understanding what they're doing, and left it that way.
Okay, there's at least two interpretations of upside down. Did they put the back side of the shingle facing the sun?
No.
Or did they?
It was literally upside down.
Twirled it upside down.
It was upside down. The whole roof was installed that way. So, like I said, we've just run into so many scenarios. And that's a lot of why I can come on here and talk about it, just from the things that I've seen throughout the years and our team has. And it's some of it's pretty mind-blowing stuff. Yeah. It's just a matter of not being educated, not knowing what you're doing. And that's why it's great to have our team so experienced. And the inexperienced ones are being mentored and trained by the guys like Wes, Elvro, you know, Gary, Carey, the ones that have been in this game for a long time.
Right.
It's very important.
You've got essentially a mentoring program.
We do.
For the young people who are working for you.
We do, because it's important. I mean, we want everybody to move up, but it's important that they get the right training, and they also understand that they're going to learn from the more experienced. I mean, this industry is, it takes a long time to learn some of these skills. I mean, there's things that we still see being in it for so long that we haven't even seen before. So you just have to kind of respect that, to know that it is a long game. I mean, Wes, how many years do you have doing this?
22.
Yeah.
22 years.
And somebody coming in green, the beautiful thing about them coming to our company, if they really want to get in this industry, is we do have so many people that work with us that have a tremendous amount of experience. And them having the luxury to be able to work side by side with them and learn the right ways, that's going to set them up for major success one day.
All right. You do repairs, and you also do gutter cleaning. You'll come to me. Come to me if I call you, and my shingle is crooked, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll do anything. Like, we just want to make sure that you're taken care of. And that's the beautiful thing about us, is that if it's just a small repair, just a pipe boot, we're going to take care of you.
Right.
We're not going to go out there and sell you a roof if you don't need a roof. We're going to be totally honest, totally upfront. We keep it real. We just want to make sure that you're taken care of, and that we, you know, find solutions to your problems so that we can have a long-term relationship built.
Good. This is Making Your Home Great. RoofWorks has sent Wes and Holly Bowers to talk to us, and that's a good thing. Wes is the steep slope repair manager, and Holly is pretty much everything. She is Holly. She is the Holly. All right, this is Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. We are at 98.5 on the frequency, and we are also on the website at WPTF.com. Click Listen Live. Of course, you're already listening. Sorry. Making Your Home Great. Wes, the steep slope repair person for RoofWorks. Holly Bowers, who does everything at RoofWorks except get on a roof.
Holly,
what is going on? Did you just give him a wrong title?
No, you just make me laugh.
Steep slope repair manager sees everything. Do you see every type of roofing?
We do. We can handle any type of roofing system, metal, slate, tile, cedar, shingles.
Low slope.
Stamped metal. And then low slope is typically your commercial type roofing.
Right.
Although they're, you know, some residential homes do have a membrane roof on it also. But typically low slope is lumped in with commercial.
And if folks have a section of low slope on the roof, I don't know, they built an overhang for their porch. And there are applications where you cannot put shingles up there. Yes?
That's correct. That's where the membrane roof systems come into place. So more than likely be a membrane.
Right.
Or a metal, like flat lock, usually copper panels.
Right.
Flat lock system where all the panels interlock, and then the seams are beaten flat and then soldered. Closed.
And you folks would also put a metal roof on my house?
Yeah.
If you wanted one, and it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that as well.
Well, how would it not be able to be done? I mean, there's got to be something that...
The thing with metal is that there's, you know, again, there's a good, better, best.
Yeah.
So a lot of folks are, when they think of metal roofs on a residential home... the screw down roof is pretty proficient, but there are different systems that have hidden fasteners that could last a lot longer on your residential home than the screw down roofs.
If your neighbor has a fairly new metal roof and you can see the screws on it,
that would be a screw down.
What do they need to do?
The first question, if you're looking for a metal roof, is speak with someone like us who's proficient in all the different styles.
Yeah.
Personally, I would never recommend a screw-down roof on your residential house.
Yeah.
Although they're all over the place. But my thought would be, why would you want to put holes in your brand-new metal roof?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So. But I got to put holes. But here's the thing. I got to put holes somewhere. Otherwise, the whole roof is going to slide off.
There are other systems typically referred to as standing seam. So you have snap lock panels where the way the panels are attached.
Yeah.
They use cleats. So then the seam covers the cleat and you don't have any... screws showing on the outside. Yeah. And they'll typically last a little longer. So okay. it really all depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking to flip a house and you want to do the least expensive metal roof, then screw down's the way to go.
Right.
If you want a metal roof for the longevity and it's your forever home, then right. I would recommend a standing seam roof.
Folks ought to take some information from certain school districts around. Johnston County is a good example. Every new construction has metal roofs. It's going to last a long time, and you don't have to re-roof it every 30 years.
That's true. And even the commercial and residential, the screw-down roofs, one thing you have to keep in mind is eventually you're going to have to do maintenance
sure.
on those screws. So whether it's replacing all the screws with a little larger screw,
yeah,
because you don't want to put the same size in the same size hole.
Makes sense.
So they've got little neoprene washers on them, and those also will eventually
rust out.
Yeah, not rust out, but corrode or just disintegrate.
Right.
So you want to put new fasteners in and get another 20 years out. The most important thing about those is not to over torque them.
And my question is, are those roofs actually hotter than traditional asphalt roof? Are they?
They can be. It all depends on really what color they are. Some are powder coated with a reflective material, and of course, yeah. white is not going to be as hot as black. A general rule of thumb is any roof system is going to be about 15 degrees warmer than yeah. the ambient temperature. So if it's 100 degrees out, your roof's going to at least be 115. So
well, that makes sense.
If it's a copper standing seam, then it's going to be about 1,000 degrees. If it's slate or copper, it'll be about 1,000 degrees.
I mean, you're exaggerating, but
I am.
They really do get hotter.
Very hot.
They probably hold their heat overnight.
Yep.
So they start out at 70 degrees, and our summers are awfully hot.
Human or animal that's on a brand new standing seam copper roof.
Yes.
That sun is just reflecting off on back onto you, and it's extremely hot. It's brutal.
All right.
Same with slate. Slate's a, you know, hot rock.
Sure.
It'll get hot.
Very cool. Now.
Very hot.
You're very cool. You're very hot. All right. So what does that mean to the insulation quality? It sounds to me like the roof doesn't insulate your house. It in fact heats it. Is that true?
That's what insulation's for.
Okay.
So.
And that's why we pick up the phone and call Brock to put in insulation, because the roof, by definition, has to heat the house.
It will, yeah.
It will.
Whatever coverings on there. They make even in shingles.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few colors that are reflective.
Yeah.
So they're not quite as hot, but it's North Carolina. I mean,
I wouldn't put
a reflective shingle or a reflective metal roof on and think that your attic now is going to be.
Right.
You know, 60 degrees or 70 degrees, it's just not going to happen.
I get it.
You need to finish your attic and put AC in there if you want your attic to be cold.
He is Wes, the steep slope repair manager, and Holly Bowers from Roofworks is here. Holly, talk to me about individual traditional roofing. I call them asphalt shingles. Are they all made of asphalt? Are they?
The shingles, yeah. I mean, if it is an asphalt-based shingle, but there are so many different products. And going back to what Wes said, you have to know what you're buying into to understand the maintenance plan on the back end that is needed. And it's very important for you to work with a company that does know all of these things, that are going to be upfront and honest with you. And they're going to tell you, you know, you can buy into this, but this is what you're going to have to do to maintain it.
Right.
So there's more maintenance-free systems versus others. You might save $2,000 on the front end, but once you add the maintenance plan in and how many times you actually have to go back out to maintain it, you could be spending, you know, sometimes double, triple the amount than just going with a better product on, you know, all around. So that's where just getting educated, doing research, asking the right questions, knowing who you're working with that actually knows these products and these roof systems, that's where it's important.
You're actually pretty much sold on CertainTeed products, although the customer is in charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's really what the customer wants. I mean, every product out there, there's something for somebody.
Right.
Different systems look better on different homes, depending on the architecture and the way it's built.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about RoofWorks is because we can do all of the different roof systems.
Okay.
We just want you to come in, talk to us, look at your options, and just make sure that you do get the right guidance from the right people that are honest with you before you make a big decision, especially when it comes to a full roof replacement.
Are there any cheap roofing materials available? I mean this because, you know, every now and then we talk to Craig, the floor guy, and Craig's saying, hey, wait before you buy because there's some cheap stuff coming in.
I mean, obviously there's some that are less expensive. Like Wes was saying, there's always good, better, best. You have the lesser of the options, but they're not going to last as long. So you have to take into factor and weigh that as far as, you know, how much life you're going to get. What is your intentions? Are you flipping this house or is it a long game? You're going to be there for 30 plus years. That's really just knowing that,
right?
Depending on what your needs are. And each person is different. Their situation is different.
All right. You agree, Wes?
I do, 100%.
The three-tab shingle, is it gone forever?
No, not at all.
You can still get it, huh?
Absolutely. Again, a lot of new construction, a lot of multifamily new construction all use three-tab because it's the most cost-effective.
It's inexpensive.
It is.
Because they're walking away from the house. You know, it's builder quality.
It is. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Sure.
It really keeps our repair department in business.
Okay.
Because it's inexpensive and doesn't last long.
What's the weakness of it? Is it the material put in?
It's just a thinner shingle.
Yeah.
And just the way it's designed is primarily for new construction or flipping stuff. And if you get 10 years out of it, great.
What should I look for?
Most of them claim that their shingles will last 20 years.
Yeah.
But when you get into in my opinion, the number game of, you know, warranties.
Right.
They're hedging their bets that you're not going to be there or be the owner in 10 years. So what is it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And with us.
But I've also seen three-tab shingles, you know, that are 25 years old, 30 years old,
yeah,
that finally they're ready to be replaced.
Yeah.
But 30 would be the max a three-tab shingle.
And folks should know what a three-tab shingle is. It has two notches on one side of it, which create three distinct, you could call them tabs, or rectangles.
Yep. They're originally designed to look like your traditional slate roofs.
Right.
So they were developed for folks tearing down all these wonderful slate roofs to put something back up that looked like a slate roof.
Right.
So
in one shingle, you get the appearance of three.
Three, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and shingles really they were designed to look like slate or wood.
Yeah.
That was the whole story behind it. And so they just came up with that product to, I guess, make it more cost effective.
Oh, gosh, and that must have been a revolution.
Yeah, because, I mean, the slate and tile and cedar, those are the high-end products. So they came up with the asphalt side to replicate that look for less.
All right, very good. Making Your Home Great is on the radio. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks. Wes, who is the Steep Slope Repair Manager. Gosh, Wes, you're it's like you're volunteering to stand on roofs that are high peaks. All right. Wes is the Steep Slope Repair Manager. Wes, I need you up here on Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF, making your home great. Wes, who is the steep slope repair manager in Holly Bowers from Roofworks. Holly, you defined why it is that three-tab don't last as much, maybe in North Carolina in new neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, and like Wes said, I mean, you do have the older ones, but most likely that home is in a shaded area with a lot of trees around. But nowadays, just about every neighborhood is cutting down all the trees, so the sun is just beating those roofs down.
I don't know whether I understand why they knock down every tree, and then they call it like Oak Woods, the Oak Woods neighborhood, and there's no oak.
I don't know.
And there's no wood.
Yeah, because I mean, tree coverage is good. I mean, it's,
sure.
You do have critter problems if trees are too close to the roof, but I mean, ideally, it'd be nice to have some neighborhoods that have some of those trees still around.
Right. So the beating sun does wear it out.
Oh, it sure
does. Absolutely.
Okay. I want to talk about warranty. I not necessarily to bash other people, but let me just go ahead and do so. What I think is that some folks tell the homeowner that you're getting a 25-year guarantee or warranty. They have a piece of paper that says that, but they didn't install it properly. What's the damage there, Holly?
I think we got into this when Rich came on the show, and a lot of times that warranty is only as good as the piece of paper that it's wrote on, along with however it was installed. So you can promise this great warranty, but the installation behind it is the most important thing.
So if I just grab Carl and Joe, you know, from, I don't know, I just find them. They're neighbors of mine, they're friends. All right, we're going to tear out the roof or put the roof on. The roof's got a 25-year guarantee. Are we automatically going to get the guarantee that's 25 years?
Right. What is that guarantee? Is it guaranteeing the shingle? Is it guaranteeing the workmanship? I mean, those are specific details that you need to understand before you sign off on anything. And also, per se, the workmanship is only as good as the company that's still around. So they can promise you this great warranty, but if they're closed down in 2 years, which we see all the time, that you don't have a warranty, that there is no warranty at that point because there's no company to even call to come back to fix that.
And Carl, one of my buddies, he doesn't know anything about underlayment, nothing at all. And he doesn't think we need drip edge. Don't need it at all. Don't worry about it, Dave. It's just another $200 expense.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think?
I think you need to educate everyone as far as why these components are critical, because each roof system is different.
Right.
But there's a lot that requires certain things for it to last the long run. So that's why I said you have to trust and understand who you're signing up with, because you're going to be promised things that sometimes aren't the truth. And some people don't know what they're talking about. And just do your homework, do your research, make sure that you understand before you sign any contract.
What do you think, Wes?
You specifically, what you want to look for is a manufacturer warranty,
right?
As well as a workmanship warranty from the company that's doing the work. And a lot of times, in order to get a manufacturer warranty, that company has to be certified by the manufacturer for the installation. And when those two things come together, then, you know, if it's a 25-year warranty backed up by the manufacturer, then you're good to go, because it gets registered with the manufacturer.
And even if it's not, let's just say it wasn't registered with the manufacturer, but you look at it and they figure there's something wrong with it. If you don't put the correct underlayment there, you're getting no love from the manufacturer.
No.
Am I correct?
Correct. Correct. So if it's, for example, if you read on a package of shingles that you buy from Lowe's or Home Depot on the package, it might say 10-year warranty.
Right.
Well, that's just your general out-of-the-box warranty. And a lot of times if you have somebody who isn't certified to install that shingle, say in 2 years it starts leaking.
Yeah.
You call the person that installed it. They're no longer in business. Well, I know these are such and such shingles I got from whatever big box store. Let me call the manufacturer. They're going to go, we have no idea what you're talking about. It's never registered with us. You might get lucky. I doubt it.
Yeah.
They might send a representative out to look at that roof themselves, and they're just going to pick it apart and go, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they didn't do this. All these things should have been done. It's right here in our installation manual. So we can't even give you the basic package warranty because none of this was done.
Because Carl has got an idea in his head. My friend, he's a good guy. When Holly said, you've got to educate, et cetera, I'm thinking, well, good luck. Carl, try to educate him. Carl's got an idea that we're just going to reuse the jackboot or whatever it is, the intrusion, all that metal that sticks out of the top of my car. He says it's just a couple of dollars.
Carl has to stay off YouTube.
What is it? What is the problem with that?
Again, it all sounds good. You can go, you know, old school up there with a bucket of tar and slap tar all over your roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it leak? No. Is it right? No.
Right.
You know, that much, depending on what kind of tar you're putting on there, that can actually eat up the asphalt that's on the shingles.
Yeah, I was thinking of just lifting up the shingles and just squirting some, like a, I don't know, like a taco. You just squirt that stuff in there.
We've seen it. Trust me.
That's your sour cream, all right.
Yeah. That's my sour cream. And it's not going to work?
It might,
okay.
But eventually, if it's especially on an asphalt shingle, you can read the tube of its plastic cement, and you can read the manufacturer's specifications for using that product.
Yeah,
a lot of times, like we were speaking about earlier on a mansard roof, if you're installing shingles,
yes,
there needs to be a certain amount of nails per shingle, depending on the manufacturer, and on the underside of each shingle, you'd usually put about a dime-sized dab of that plastic cement to help seal it more.
And to define mansard roof, it is a roof that starts on the roof area and rolls down to what I would think is the wall.
Almost vertical.
Right.
Looks like it should be a wall, but you'll see shingles on it. That's a very specific installation that you have to do. And, you know, I see it on YouTube to the one gentleman who goes up with his 5 gallon pail of plastic cement and just every part of the roof is just layering his stuff on and it'll eat everything up.
See, the thing, when you've got a specialty roof like that, you have to hire somebody who's been in it a while.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're paying anyone to come out and slap some tar on any issue on your roof just as a quick repair, you need to think twice about that.
Do you guys have buckets of tar that you could use when you send out a repair crew?
You can get buckets of tar.
Oh,
for
you
sure
can get
them.
Yeah.
And there are still typically commercial called like the old tar and mop bucket type stuff.
Oh, sure.
Commercial. They're few and far between, but they're still going strong.
Okay,
that's kind of where you would use your big buckets of tar at.
Not on my roof.
Not on
a residential.
Making your home great. Wes, thank you for coming in. He is the steep slow repair manager. Steep slope.
Slope.
He's not slow.
Thank you.
No, steep slope repair manager and Holly Bowers from Roofworks. Take care.